Radiotopia.
You didn't hear this from me, but Normal Gossip is back for a sixth season. Join host Kelsey McKinney as she shares the juiciest gossip from the real world. Each episode, she's joined by a special guest, and you might recognize a couple this season from the Radiotopia universe. Normal Gossip, named one of the best podcasts of the year by Time Magazine and Vulture, is out now on all your favorite podcast platforms. New episodes starting April 17th.
February 14th, 1998.
Sixth grade.
Dear diary.
Dear Jesus.
Dear sweet asswad.
Adults sharing the embarrassing things
they created as kids.
So I wrote poems about masturbation.
Before an audience
of total strangers.
I feel like an idiot.
I'm the only normal one in my entire family.
Mom, you can't read this.
These are the stories hidden inside
the pages of our past.
Welcome to the Mortified Podcast. I'm Neil. And today's episode peeks inside the middle school diaries of Sarah.
I was a very uncool 13-year-old. I wanted everyone to like me, but I had the braces and the glasses and the frizzy hair, the bad dress sense.
When it came to love, Sarah didn't let appearances stop her. She set her sights on one of the most sought-after boys in school.
Matt was popular. Matt was a popular kid. We didn't know each other. We weren't really friends.
And Sarah wanted nothing more than to catch his attention.
I just remember this longing that never went away. I thought about him all the time. I woke up and I got dressed thinking about what I would look like for Matt. Oh, I would eavesdrop and steal notes from people if it had Matt's name in it. I mean, that's a little bit obsessive.
And Sarah spent hours daydreaming about dancing with him in front of the whole school. She always imagined during a slow song, he might whisper something like this.
I know I've been really secretive about it, but I do like you. I just haven't had the chance to say it yet. So there was always this hope.
Here's Sarah, recorded at the Alberta Rose in Portland.
When I was in seventh grade, I fell in love for the first time with an eighth grader named Matt. I was head over heels in a bit of a creeper kind of way. My best friend Haley and I spent most of the year thinking about our crushes. Tonight, I'm going to read you entries from my seventh grade journals. November 26th. Help! I'm in love! I'm so in love. I'm going crazy. Even thinking about Matt, I smile my broadest. Happy holiday, happy Thanksgiving, happy love. I think I'll wait on making any of the love spells I got from that book from the library. And see if I myself can make him like me. December 3rd. Matt is now president and I sit by him and I love him. I found a note in the recycling to Matt from this girl named Ariel. The note is weird. Ariel called him baby. I don't even know her, but I'm pretty sure I don't like her. She sounds like a bitch. I also found out that Vanessa likes Matt. I'm mad because she wants to go out with him and be Monica Lewinsky to his school president. December 17th. Yesterday was so wonderful. It was the school dance. I was thinking about not dancing with Matt if it meant I had to ask him. My stomach was doing 4 backbends, 2 somersaults, and a couple cartwheels. I ran away several times, and then Cedar said, Sarah, do you want me to ask him? I said yes. I felt like I was going to throw up. Then Cedar found me again and asked, fast or slow? I think my heart must have stopped for a short time there. Matt was going to dance with me. I was close to fainting. I said slow. I went and found Haley and, screaming, told her what happened. Well, the next slow dance came and I went over to Matt. He took me by my hips and then I put my arm above his neck. If that's what ecstasy is like, it was wonderful. We didn't make much eye contact. Some, okay, maybe half of the school was looking at us. I truly wished I could have danced all night. Before we got dancing too long, I asked, "Are you sure you want to do this?" He said, he said yes. Before long, it was over. I said thank you, and he said no problem. I was so happy. By the time the dance was over, me and Haley were going to scream any second. That was my first dance with a guy, and he was the president. So I wrote a lot of letters to Matt in my notebook saying things that I couldn't say to him during the daytime, and here is one of those letters. Dear Matt, I like you a lot. I mean, according to Celine Dion, you are the reason I wake up every day. I'm actually in love with you. I do want to say thank you very much for risking your popularity by dancing with me. It was my dream come true. I love you tremendously. I would love it if maybe you could become my boyfriend. Please, would you like and love me as much as I love you? Could you maybe ask me to dance at the Valentine's dance? January 12th. I keep looking at Matt, and he then stares at me. I wish he stared at me because he likes me, not because he knows I stare at him. Why is this happening? Why am I falling so much in love? I also get really jealous when Matt talks to Haley. Please don't let Matt like Haley. They're talking right now. Oh, please. Please stop talking to her. It's not safe to write anymore about you know who. January 13th. Mom is at a class on adolescent girls. I hope it works. Before I fall asleep, I think about Matt saving me from car crashes and mean people. I call these scenarios. And now, for your listening pleasure, here is one of those scenarios. Scenario number 5. It's the day of my birthday party, and we're still at school. I leave class to get something from my locker. Matt follows right behind. I hear him say, "Sarah?" I'm very puzzled. He says, "I want to give you these now and not wait until your party." He pulls out a big blue velvet case. I open the case and gasp the biggest gasp ever. It's a diamond necklace and earrings. Matt, I get tears in my eyes. Then he fastens the necklace around my neck. "I need to ask you something," he says. He takes another blue box out of his pocket and opens it. It's a diamond ring. He then says, "Sarah, I have been in love with you greatly ever since I met you. Would you be willing to accept this as a long-term engagement and promise that you would be willing to marry me when we're both 20? I burst into tears and managed to say, "Yes, I will," in between sobs. He puts the ring on my finger and gives me a big kiss on the lips. He asks, "Would it be okay if we had a betrothal ceremony at school?" Of course I said yes. A week later, there's an announcement saying, "Attention students and teachers." There will be a betrothal ceremony There will be a betrothal ceremony between our President Matt and Sarah Binns happening at 1 o'clock. This is no joke, and it is legal. At 1 o'clock, we all go to the auditorium, and there is a real priest, a maid of honor, Haley, and a best man. It's almost the same as a real wedding, but the priest says that we are not old enough yet. We go to the same high school and college and date all the way through. On my 19th birthday, Matt again proposes. We then get married and live happily ever after. January 20th. Guess what I'm listening to? I'm listening to the song Matt and I danced to. Ah! Haley found it on her dad's Sarah McLachlan CD. February 12th. I think I'll always love Matt. I found some love spells in that library book. I can do the spells on Matt after my birthday party, because one spell calls for a glass he drinks from. Why didn't anyone tell me love was as painful? We hardly looked at each other. During fourth period, I was reading oh so very silently over Brittany's shoulder at a note she was writing. I noticed in big letters, Matt. I was determined to get the paper. I saw Brittany rip it up and throw it away. After class, I discreetly gathered most of the pieces, which I later pieced together. See tape below. April 28th. Yesterday, Haley and I went prom dress shopping for the end of the year dance at, drumroll, Lloyd Center.
There were a lot of dances. It was such an important thing because there's that physical contact of, even if you just have your, like, my sweaty hands on his sweaty shoulders and his hands on my waist, you know, that was, it was the most romantic thing I could think of. Most everyone in my class knew that I liked Matt, and I got a little bit teased for it. I think part of me hoped that if I liked Matt enough and put it out into the world and talked about him enough and everybody heard about it, that somehow Matt would like me back. But yeah, everyone knew.
May 1st. Yesterday was the last dance of the year. I decided I had to ask Matt to dance. I found him during a fast song, and I went up to him. The most amazing thing was that I wasn't even partially nervous. I didn't really stumble. There were no butterflies in my stomach. I just bluntly asked, "You probably have a rather long waiting list, but would you mind dancing with me?" He said, "How about the dance after the next one?" I went over to Haley and told her. I was so happy I had asked him myself. Then it was a slow song. I looked over to Haley. My heart stopped. There was Haley, my bestest friend in the whole world, dancing with the man of my dreams. She was dancing with Matt. My first thought was, "You bitch. You promised you wouldn't dance with him. I hate you." I started crying. I thought I was truly going to die right then and there. It was the worst 3 minutes of my life. Finally, the accursed song was over. Haley came right over to me. "I'm so sorry," she said. "He was just right there and he asked me to dance." I felt like my whole world was crashing down on my head. It was then the next song. I was worried that my mascara was running. I saw Matt and figured he wouldn't dance with me. I started crying again. "Please, don't break my heart," I thought. He saw me, I saw him, and then my heart was lifted. He walked toward me. He looked at me with his beautiful eyes. He put his hands on my waist. I rested my hands on his sweaty shoulders. I was very happy, but my heart was still aching at the sight of him dancing with Haley. It did feel wonderful to have him touch me. At the end, he didn't let go until the very last moment in the song. We both smiled at each other. I said thanks, and he said, "Give me 5. I did, and it was wonderful. And when I walked away, I did feel like I was walking on air. June 30th. What if, when I'm older and have won an Oscar or the Humanitarian Award or the Nobel Peace Prize, well, maybe I'll be in my early 20s, And maybe, hopefully, I'm going out with Matt. Maybe my journals could be published. I'd like that. Maybe I'd change the names. But what good would that do? Everyone who knows me would already know the whole story. And what if Matt and I never get together? And what if I absent-mindedly publish my journals? Maybe then he'll understand and come back to me. Well, I kind of like the idea of me being the only person on Earth who knows everything that's in here. It's a nice feeling. I'm going to write more on my story now. Later. Thank you.
That was Sarah, reading aloud her childhood writings with no embellishing, no exaggerating, just God-given awkwardness, in Portland at the Alberta Rose Theater. And stick around, there's more to the story as we chat with Sarah in our postmortem. Fide. We caught up with Sarah, and she took us through that magic spell she tried on her middle school infatuation. You know, the one that was supposed to make him fall head over heels?
There was a spell that involved a ribbon, and it had, I think, lavender oil and some other kind of oil that I got from a hippie shop here in Portland. And then I lit some candles and said whatever incantation that the book told me to say. And I, you know, had this ribbon tied around a candy cane and sent to Matt under the guise of, oh, I'm sending everyone candy canes. But Matt's was the only one that had this ribbon tied around it. I don't know what he was supposed to do, but I think the contact was important. He was going to touch it.
And did Sarah find out? Did he ever touch the ribbon? Did the spell work?
Well, obviously it didn't work because we're not married right now.
When it was clear no school dance or magic spell could bring them together, Sarah knew in her heart it was time to move on to another crush.
I went on vacation with my parents. We went on a schooner cruise in Maine, and I ended up falling in love with a 19-year-old named Sam. So I just kind of hopped from one to the other, and the way I got over Matt was obsessing about Sam and writing about him for the next year.
And jumping from one obsessive crush to the next didn't exactly end with Sam.
So I always kind of see myself as my lot in life is to be the role of unrequited crusher. And that continued through middle school, into high school, into college, became known for telling the people that I crushed on that I had a crush on them. And once I told them, I was able to let it go and to move on to the next unwitting victim. But in the process, oddly enough, what's happened in my life is that a lot of these people became friends and became really wonderful people in my life.
And when Sarah stumbled upon her middle school diaries detailing her crush on Matt, she immediately saw the humor in it.
I actually started publishing these entries on a blog, and I was posting it on my Facebook. And a few years ago, Matt actually found this blog. And so he sent me this really tortured note saying, I'm so sorry. And of course, I wrote back being like, dude, it's been 15 years. This is hilarious. Please don't worry about it. I'm gay. Like, it's not like I'm sitting here still pining for you.
Before our time with Sarah was up, we wanted to know one last thing. If she can make one magic spell as an adult, what would it be?
I would like a spell that would just make me feel more confident in myself. And I'm learning that and I'm working on that. But I would like to have the love that I have for my crushes, the love that I have for the people around me, I'd like to have that love for myself and to treat myself with the respect that I suppose I deserve.
To share the shame, follow us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit getmortified.com to learn about Mortified stage shows, books, films, and beyond. As many of you know, the Mortified podcast is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, which is made possible with support from the Knight Foundation and MailChimp, who celebrate creativity, chaos, and teamwork. Of course, if you'd like to sponsor this podcast too, email sponsor@radiotopia.fm. Our podcast production team for this episode includes Kathy Tu, Pierce Priscelli, Dave Nadelberg, and myself, Neil Ketcher. Egan Danahy story produced this for the stage. Music by Gordon Bash, Alex Burke, Adam Smith, and Snake, Snake, Snakes. Additional thanks to Lance Roberts, Lance Neely, the Alberta Rose Theater, Megan Holmes, Susan Danny, Frank Matthews, and all the dedicated Mortified Live producers whose work make this stage show possible. Until next time, we remind you that we are freaks, we are fragile, and we all survived.